Good afternoon. I would like to call to order and welcome you to the November 20th, 2023 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of the commission is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuation, and use of areas having a special historical, cultural, or aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, and general welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is of basic and vital importance for the development and maintenance of the community's tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. This commission is appointed by City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or nonprofit organizations. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance are used by the board to determine the compatibility of proposed changes in new development visible from the public right-of-way, including streets, lanes, and sidewalks within the Savannah local historic and conservation districts. The commission cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as land use, landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, impact on property values, and interior arrangement of structures are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for discussions. At this time, I ask that everyone please turn off and silence your cell phones. Thank you. Do we have anyone joining us online?
Yes, there are a few people there.
Few people? Yeah. Terrific. If you are joining us online, please remain attentive and mute your mic until called upon to speak. Each commission member must say their names when you speak and when you vote on an item. Will the commission members present please identify themselves by name for the record today? Jeff?
Jeff Notrico.
Virginia Mobley, present.
Kirsten Connor.
Kathy Levina.
Pam Miller.
May Boley.
Darren Bagley-Heath.
Thank you. Signposting. Members of the board receive an electronic agenda the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were any projects not properly posted this month? Seeing none, we will continue to the consent agenda. These items, these agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factor, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. Is there any member of the public or the board who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? Ask for a motion. I ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Virginia Mobley, I move that we approve the consent agenda as listed.
Pam Miller, I second.
For the vote, Jeff?
Jeff Ventrica, I approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Kirsten Connor, I approve, but I have to recuse myself from item number one.
Thank you.
Pam Miller, I approve.
May Boley, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you. Adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the November 20th, 2023 agenda?
May Boley, motion to adopt the November 20th, 2023 agenda.
Kirsten Connor, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Virginia Mobley, aye.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Terrific. Thank you. Approval of the minutes of previous meeting. Minutes from the previous meeting are attached to the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of the previous meeting? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion that we approve the minutes of the October 25th, 2023 meeting as presented.
Virginia Mobley, second.
For the vote, Jeff?
Jeff Notrico, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
May Bowley, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Seeing no items requested to be removed from the final agenda, we will continue to the continued agenda. These are items that have been continued and deferred to the next meeting or a date certain, or that staff has determined incomplete at this time. Is there a motion to approve the continued agenda?
Kirsten Connor, I motion to approve the continued agenda.
Aaron Bagley-Heath, I second that.
For the vote, Jeff?
Jeff Nutrica, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
May Bowley, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you. Request for extension. There is one item requested for extension, the petition of 1616 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Is there a motion to approve the request for extensions?
Virginia Mobley, I vote that we approve the extension for 1616 Martin Luther.
Second.
Pam Miller, a second.
It'll get out.
Jeff for the vote.
Jeff Nutrica, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
May Bowley, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you. Regular agenda. Applications that are submitted monthly appear on the regular agenda in the following order by district. Victorian District, Kyler Brownville District, Streetcar District, Conservation Districts. Let's begin with the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendation. The board asks that the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comment. The board will then go into board discussion, at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairman. We will structure board discussion by calling on each board member for two rounds of two-minute comments or less. Board members are not required to comment. If board members would look at the sheet that Melanie distributed to us, they request that the form of motion be submitted as following. If you see the highlighted yellow, approved as submitted, approved with conditions, deny, continue the petition, or table. So if you would make your motion in compliance with Robert's Rules of Order. We will start with the first application. The first application is the petition of Andrew Donovan, 214 West Duffy Street.
Ready?
After the fact alterations, yes. Please.
So again, first project at 214 West Duffy. The applicant is requesting an after-the-fact approval for alterations to the property at 214. So the after-the-fact work includes alterations to the rear facade to include infill of a window and a door opening, as well as alterations of a window opening for the installation of a door. All this work took place on the ground floor. Application is also requesting the replacement of all the windows, as well as the construction of a rear and side yard fence. For some context, this is a circa 1884 contributing home. It contributes to the National Register Victorian Historic District, as well as a local Victorian Historic District. Staff received a complaint on October 19th, 2023, that work was taking place without COA. Staff reported this work to Coast Compliance, and Coast did reach out to the applicant originally. The owner has since applied for a COA. So let's begin with talking about the after-the-fact work. The eastern portion of the rear facade appears to be an enclosed porch. This does not appear to be original to structure and is not contributing to the historic character of the building. So the enclosure of the window and the door are likely not impacting the historic character of the structure. The western window, was like the original, the structure, so its replacement with removal and then installation of the double doors are impacting the historic character of the building. The doors themselves are also steel, which are not visually compatible with this district. Also, configuration is also not contributing or it does impact the character structure, sorry. The applicant is also requesting full window replacement. Unfortunately, staff did not receive additional information on these windows or photographs, reports, and so on. So staff is requesting that additional information before we make a recommendation. Finally, the applicant is requesting the installation of a fence. The fence height, materials, and location do meet the standards. With that, staff recommends continuance of the request for the after-the-fact alterations to the property located at 214 West Duffy Street in order for the petitioner to address and provide the following photographs of the window deterioration justify replacement, as well as alternative drawings and plans for the rear facade that includes a reinstallation of the western window opening. Or have any questions for me at this point?
Are there any questions for staff?
Kirsten Connor, I wasn't able to load the staff photos on my computer. Is there a chance you could pull them up, or is it just that one photo?
There are multiple.
Okay.
Little one's good. Yeah.
Is this photograph of what it looked like prior to work taking place? Photograph of people working. And then close up with the word.
Would you mind going to the original photo at the top? Thank you.
Any other questions?
Are there any questions for staff?
This mic is sensitive in one place to turn it on. Sorry. Above the window on the second floor, the middle window, is that a transom? Or do they all have transoms?
I'm sure it looks like a transom, but it's difficult to tell. It's kind of an odd, I won't say an odd feature, but it's a...
I think if you're looking at it, you can see that there's a shadow of a former window in that area. And the same in the lower picture as well. Where the door originally was, it appears that there's a shadow there where there was a significantly larger opening on the left-hand side.
Does that answer your question, Virginia?
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any other questions for staff? Kathy Levine, my question is, I'm not sure what the process here is, except I do know that Leah and Caitlin, I'm sure you have gone out to homes to actually look at the windows and determine whether or not the windows are eligible, right, for replacement. Have you done so on this petition?
Sometimes we request the photographs because sometimes it's the interior issues as well. So, we can visually observe some of it, but we usually request photographic evidence as well.
Okay. And as far as you know, Leah has not been out there.
Just to take the pictures and the staff photos.
Right, but not actually physically inspecting.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions for staff? Hearing none, will the petitioner please step forward and state your name for the record?
Yeah, hi, my name's Andrew Donovan.
Good afternoon. Can you respond to staff's request?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we recently purchased this home, me and my wife. We plan to move into it as a long-term home. As you can probably tell by some of the photos, this is a home that unfortunately has been neglected for quite a long time. I believe there's been multiple changes to the exterior of the home. I don't know if all of these have been submitted to you guys before, but in the past, it looks like they've put this as a multi-unit, and that's why that upstairs window with the two odd windows looks odd, because I think they had a stairway with a doorway up there. So I don't know if they submitted that to you afterwards once they replaced that with that small little picture window on top. The window in question that we had placed the door at, I am not sure if that's was actually original to the structure. It was actually, earlier you asked if our original windows were 6/6, so 1/1. The original windows are 6/6. That window was actually 1/6. So they had clearly, and I included a photo of that window we had replaced with my packet that I submitted. So I do not believe that was actually the original window at all. I believe they had replaced it at some point and replaced it incorrectly with not matching or compatible features. Ultimately, the plan for this home, we want to build it up, make it compatible with the neighborhood. We want this home to really be fit in with the neighborhood and make the neighborhood look nice. And right now, I don't think it does, because unfortunately, it's kind of been quite run down. But I plan on investing quite heavily into this. Like I said, we plan on making this a long-term home for us. So that's the plan. Ultimately, we did submit that fence proposal. It will be an 8-foot fence. So much of these changes to the back, I do not believe will actually be visible from any of the lanes. It will be in the back there, specifically the door. I don't believe that will actually be visible. But that being said, ultimately, our goal is just to improve the appearance and make it fit with the neighborhood a little bit better. But I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. And I do apologize for the after the fact notice. This is our first renovation, but we are learning along the way, and unfortunately, we tripped up a little bit.
Terrific. Thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner from the board?
This is Darren Bagley. So when I'm looking at the pictures before you started making the alterations, you saw the shadows that were left in place from any previous alteration, correct?
Mm-hmm,
I did. You're showing you where the doors and windows were originally placed. You have that shadow around, which is previous ordinances would have required that to take place. That's why they were left there. Mm-hmm. But you've chosen to remove, instead of putting a large door where the door originally was, you've chosen to remove a window and place mm-hmm. the door on the other side.
Yeah, and part of that was, our thought was, or the reason for that is because inside we're doing remodeling to our kitchen. And ultimately the way the cabinets were set up made it so that the door placement, in order to place the cabinets where we wanted to, the door placement had to be moved over. But that's ultimately why we made that decision to move over. But yes.
So I guess I had, Kathy Levine, I had the similar concern. I was curious as to why you chose the window versus the original door opening to put a new set of double doors. So I guess that answers it.
And when you purchased the house, you weren't given any advice as far as any by any of the professionals you work with as far as requirements that you may need to look into when you were making renovations of a substantial nature?
So we got some advice. I don't think we got all the advice we needed, in all honesty, and that's probably why we slipped up a little bit. But working with the contractors, we've tried to follow the advice we have gotten, and this is where I am.
Have you already installed the cabinets?
We have them in the house. They're not installed. They've been ordered, and we have them in the house.
Would the cabinets, I mean, could you manipulate the design of the cabinets to work around the reinstallation of the window?
If we were to reinstall the window, I believe what we would have to do is where the current site of the double door is now, we would have to place, so that's the location of the window, place a single door adjacent to the window on that side, where we would have the window and then adjacent to that window have the door on that side in order to make the cabinets work. Because right now we have a gas line installed along, we have a gas line installed where that previous door was.
All right. Any other questions for the petitioner?
I have one. Have you had a window restoration professional take a look at your windows for the potential to be restored?
I have attempted to contact multiple of them. Unfortunately, no one's been able to come out. I would love to find someone who might be able to. That has been very difficult, honestly, for me. I will say multiple of those windows, and I'm happy to meet with Leah Walker through the house, are just in absolute shambles. Some of them are held together with concrete caulking, actually, multiple of them are missing the little pieces of wood in between the frames. Multiple of them have rotted out bottoms, so they are in very, very rough shape. I'm happy to walk through with Leah about those. I would love to restore if I could, and if I could find the individual. A lot of them I very heavily suspect are not able to be restored, and that's why I put in for the petition to replace them, because they're in such rough shape.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to seeing the images, and I wish you luck. Don't give up. There are lots of great window restoration professionals in Savannah. Not enough, but there's a lot, so don't give up.
Any other questions for the petitioner? Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that would like to comment? All right. We will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member to speak twice for 2 minutes or less. Begin with you, Jeff.
I don't really have anything to add to this.
Virginia Mobley, no comment.
Kirsten Connor, I agree with staff recommendations.
Kathy Ledvina, I agree with staff recommendations. I see the possibility of adding a door in the location that is already ghost marked. I think some design advice would greatly help out the petitioner.
Pam Miller, I agree with Kathy Levina. They'll be interested to see the alternative drawings. Thank you.
May Bully, no comment.
I agree with the previous comments. I think it's unfortunate that the job progressed to the stage that it has done, because, you know, you've gone to a point where you've altered the what was there and could have been left intact and in its integrity. So I agree with the recommendations alter the alternate drawings and the reinstallation of that western window opening. And you're probably going to have to look at the installing any, if you're going to install a door where the one originally was before. So that's my thoughts on it too.
Any further comment by the board? Is there a motion? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Kristen.
Kristen, sorry. It's okay. Kirsten Connor. Just looking at the pictures further, although the single light sash is probably not original, I think that window opening on the rear, where the doors are now, is likely original just based on the size of it, with the second floor. So I think that's why I'm leaning towards staff recommendations of reinstalling the window.
I have one further comment as well. Looking at that shadow on the second floor where the big window light is as well, I'm going to suggest that may even have been a door at one point, and there may have been a balcony, which, as you folks may want to look at, if you can go into the archives, it may be somewhere you may be able to find old pictures of it. It may have had a balcony on there at one point, which would be a great feature, and you'd be doing a great job in restoring that if you could.
Any further board comment? Is there a motion?
Virginia Mobley, I make a motion to continue this item to a date certain. Versus the staff recommendation.
Is there a second?
Darren Bagley, I second.
Y'all just need to put a date on there.
All right. Virginia's our date, 30 days?
The next meeting is January 3rd.
I wasn't sure because you said no.
We should give these guys a little bit.
January 3rd meeting.
We should give them 90 days, up to 90 days to come back, I think, if we're going to be fair, because we've got a bunch of holidays coming up.
All right.
For them to get their everything in order, that may be a better option for them.
I make a motion that this item be continued for no more than 90 days based on the staff recommendation.
Is there a second?
Darren Bagley, I second that.
All in favor? Jeff?
Jeff Notarica, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
May Bowley, approve.
Darren Bagley, Heath, approve.
Motion passes. Mr. Donovan, did it happen?
It seems like I will again present in the future with some alterations as requested by the staff. I believe there is plans to look at the windows a little bit better. And then I am to provide layouts with a new single door in the reinstallation of the window or at those future dates.
Correct. You look at the staff recommendations and follow the staff recommendations mm-hmm. that you've received
mm-hmm.
and definitely meet with staff and look at the windows. And then I would recommend meeting with a preservation architect or preservation professional, and they could guide you a little bit better and possibly also do a rendering of the back facade, which is what staff is asking for as well.
Okay. Okay.
And so you have 90 days. You don't have to repetition. You don't have to repetition, try to, do another application. Just meet with staff and submit your material, and we welcome you back.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
And I encourage you to use these guys as much as you can in every step of the process. You have a question, call them, email them, pester them. It's just so when you come back the next time, you're going to be successful because we all want you to be successful.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Good luck. Continuing with the regular agenda, the petition of Array Design, 1319 Jefferson Street, new construction, small part one and part two.
Okay, so this application is for 1319 Jefferson Street. The applicant is requesting approval, new construction. A little bit of context, the cottage is constructed about 1898 to 1916. A little bit of background on this project. It was previously heard by the commission at the September 27th, 2023 commission meeting. The board voted to continue the project and provided the conditions that you see on the screen. The applicant has addressed all of these conditions. So for a little bit more context on the project, the applicant is proposing infill. The proposed infill as newly designed. It's three stories tall, 41.5 feet tall with a gable end roof. There's a full width front porch on the primary facade, as well as a balcony on the third floor of the western facade. The info meets all base zoning requirements, visual compatibility criteria, and the standards for the Victorian Historic District. Staff has no concerns with the proposed info. The applicant is also going to work on the cottage as on site. The cottage will remain. Proposed work includes enclosing a rear porch, removal of the chicken coop, window alterations, and front porch alterations. The sanitary material standards, visibility, compatibility criteria, and the standards for this district have been met, and staff has no concerns.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff? Kathy Ledvina, I have a question for staff. It was my understanding that we were requiring the petitioner to reinstall the 3/1 wood windows on the historic portion of the house, and that's not indicated on the new drawings. The old drawings show the 3/1 on the front facade. The old drawings do. The new drawings do not. If you go back up, there you go, right there. You see the two flanking windows. Okay, so it's, and I guess it's in the written, but not in the drawing. Is that, that's what you're stating? So I guess we just need clarification of that. And, but again, I thought that we were doing 3/1 on the historic portion and 1/1 on the new to distinguish the historic versus the old. Do they have it in the written too? Okay, we'll have to adjust that with the petitioner then. Thank you. Are there any other questions for staff? No? Would the petitioner please step forward and state your name for the record?
Hi there. Just let me get to starting image. Okay. Hello. It's good to see you all again. I'm Holly Kincannon with Array Design, and I'm here on behalf of the owners of 1319 Jefferson Street. And I do appreciate the chance to present again. We've made quite a few changes addressing the concerns that were noted, you know, in our last meeting. And I will get to the question about the windows, but just for simplicity's sake, I'm just going to go through the set in the order it's in. Thank you.
Perfect.
So I'm going to start with the – sorry, I didn't get used to this. Nope, that's download. Well, let's go here. Starting with the site plan, and specifically regarding the, starting with the footprint of the ADU, the cottage, I just want to speak to the, one of the requirements that we had not met in terms of the 700 square foot footprint and the changes that we've made now. In our previous proposal, we had proposed extending the cottage to the rear yard setback to add a little square footage, but at this point, we're just going to enclose the porch and maintain the square footage under that 40% maximum allowed. So that's one change that we addressed. And then just a little note again on the site plan, we have also added the walkways from our principal structure to the public sidewalk. So that's another change that we've made. Regarding the, let's see, building height. We have lowered the height of the principal structure, the new construction, and it is now at 41.6, which basically is the same height of this building here, which is just down the lane from our project site. And I've referred to this side gable project a few times in terms of a model that we have referred to. But one of the pleasing things about getting to that height, that 41.6, is not only did it scale down the overall building, but, you know, that height change translates down the facade. So the architectural lines now of our new construction kind of pair nicely with the architectural features of the neighbors. So, for instance, our cornice height now is right at the height of that front gable height, and then the second story porch height is also aligned. It's a little shorter, but basically it meets the start of the gable on a neighboring building. I'll just go up to this. I think it might be a little easier. So looking at this street view, our new building heights, again, the second story porch height aligns with the start of this cornice height on the neighbor to the south of the project. And then here is that pink Victorian, and the top of our cornice height basically hits the height of that gable there. So I was kind of happy about the way that worked out. And then also just, I did mention this last time, but I didn't have the full graphic. So I want to talk about the street wall and the way in which our building kind of works within that fabric. So here's our proposed structure, and it is set back from all the historic buildings on that on Jefferson streetscape. So I'm hoping that helps to kind of integrate in your mind the scale issues that came up in our last meeting. And then, let's see, talking about the doors, just zoom in here. We did, we were asked to reconsider the doors, both for the cottage and the principal structure, and so we've done so. We've retained the existing door on the cottage. And then in terms of the exterior doors on the new construction, we made the change from a full frame glazed door to a 3/4. I'm gonna go just to the our door and window schedules for that. Hold on. Okay, so this is now the newly proposed exterior door for the new construction. So it's a stained mahogany wood, true divided lights, 3/4 glazing, 2/2, and a single panel below. And then about the windows that you asked, we only have one on the cottage that is a 3/1 that's historic, and that's being repurposed. As we had kind of said last time, I had introduced new cottage style windows, thinking that that would help, you know, articulate the windows, but we are maintaining the existing historic window on the cottage that is a 3/1. We're only removing non-historic windows that are 1/1s, and we're putting in wood double hung 1/1s for those. So the 1 3/1 remains. We're not taking that out. Does that help? Okay. And so anyway, I think that is it. If there's something I've missed, please, you know, let me know. I can answer questions.
Are there any questions for the petitioner?
What is the first floor elevation?
In terms of off the grade?
Yeah.
1 foot.
What are the adjacent buildings? They from your drawings, they look like they're higher.
Yeah, we are meeting an average. So I would have to look back. Let's see. Let me look and see. I think there's 2 foot on our cottage. And the if you look at the, let me see if I can get this photo in here. A little better shot for you. So for this street, it's zero here. It's at grade. Ours is a 2 foot, the cottage, the existing cottage. So we've gone in the middle at 12 inches.
Okay. Kathy Lidvina, my question is, why did you decide to change from 3/1 to 1/1 in the historic window openings? The first petition from 927 had 3/1s on that front facade.
Yeah.
And currently you're at 1/1s.
Well, we were just...
What was the change? Why?
Well, those are... We were discouraged from introducing 3/1 because we were told we did not want... We were told that we were not to confuse the 3/1, the historic 3/1 with the new ones. So staff had recommended that we not use a cottage style in order not to confuse what is existing and what's new.
It's my understanding, according to the the National Park Service standards for rehabilitation, mm-hmm. that if you have a historic window and it's 3/1, right? That's the basis of your sash pattern. And you can put in existing historic openings a 3/1 sash pattern, and that is recommended. The 1/1 in the historic openings where you're adding your new addition or where there was a new addition added, that is where you would put a 1/1 because that distinguishes the new from the old. And that's, I guess, the question that I had, I guess, Caitlin, for staff. I thought that's what we had decided in September, that in historic openings, 3/1 would be used, and in the new addition, 1/1 would be used.
Well,
and that's just applying the Secretary of Interior standards.
Go ahead, Caitlin.
I may have to look up the what it says on the decision, but
yeah,
it might have been just not wanting to promote a false sense of history. Might have been the logic on that one, but I'll take a look and see.
But how are you promoting a false sense of history when you're replacing what was originally there versus what was replaced?
I see your point.
I will just say we are agreeable with putting in the cottage style. I love that style, so I haven't take no issue with that. I will say that it wasn't a condition of the last. There was discussion, but in terms of the conditions, we looked to what was actually noted attached to the decision of the board. And so we didn't address the windows actually at all. But we are here to do that. If you want cottage style, happy to do that.
Great. I guess that's one question that I had. Does anybody else have any other questions? I'm going to look over my notes. All right, Kathy Lebrun, I've got one more question. on the new building.
Yes.
We discussed this last time as well, the hierarchy of windows. And you have the same window, it's 7'5" tall, 3 foot wide on every floor, first, second, third.
Yes.
All on every facade of the building.
Yeah.
So you don't have a primary facade using, you know, a primary window type and a secondary window type. These are all floor to ceiling windows, especially now since you've lowered the height, correct? And I love that you lower the height. I think it's much, much better aligned with the other existing buildings on the street. But the question is, you have floor to ceiling windows. A, I think visual compatibility, these windows should have some sort of hierarchy. Not in width, obviously in height. But also, I mean, we have no purview of what's going on inside, but I mean, you could just walk right out those windows, fall to your death. Because I mean, inside they're floor to ceiling.
Yeah.
Where you put your furniture. I mean, I'm just trying to understand the reasoning behind the height of those windows on all three floors. I understand the primary facade. I just don't understand why you don't have a secondary window versus just one plain window on all facades in every location.
Yeah. Our response is to the conditions that were requested in the last meeting.
Okay.
So, but I want to still, if I can, speak to that because I may not have done such a grand job last time explaining. We're working within a typology that is found within the district. And I actually decided to include a federal style building because that's very much in the tradition that we're working where there is a repeat in size of windows. It's like so old that now it's new. So in other words, there is a tradition where you do use repeat size windows on all elevations. It's just a very early tradition. But we have new buildings. We have buildings throughout, you know, the district that do that as well. And I will just say as a final note on this, it's a way that I'm trying to distinguish the new works from some of the historic precedents just to kind of freshen it up and be distinctive, honestly. So,
okay. Yeah. Thank you.
I have a question. Are these two separate properties or is it one property?
It's one property.
Okay. Should not the principal and the secondary levels match in height on the first floor?
They do.
You said the cottage was 2 feet and the main.
Oh, the principal. I'm sorry. I thought you meant the first and second floor.
No.
Okay. Sorry.
I'm talking about first level entry. If it's one property, would it not be consistent with the historic nature to all be one level?
The two buildings be at the same level? In the ordinance, it talks about, you know, an average. So we're working kind of with the ordinance. But also, I appreciate what you're saying, but also I've been very sensitive to the overall height of the building. So it's just one device that I tried to apply to keep the height down for the overall scale of the streetscape. It's just a decision that we made there. But I see what you're saying.
I don't mean to be argumentative, yeah. But what you're doing is sacrificing the foundation heights to allow you to have three stories. To maintain what you want in the way of height.
Well, if this is something that is important to the board, if you're asking me to go up a foot, we are certainly willing to do that. If that's what you're asking, to raise the foundation level up another foot.
Well, I mean, and this is my personal opinion. I think the consistency of the street face would be better if everything was the same foundation. And in this particular neighborhood on this particular street, some of the fragments of the original buildings that were in the area in the 1800s are mechanic sheds and such as that. So they don't have residential elevations. They have street levels to get in. So, I mean, I don't know what the actual use or construction use of the adjacent building was, but I doubt in looking at it that it was a residence.
On the cottage?
No. Next to the cottage. The one that's street level now.
Oh, yeah. I don't have history on that. Sorry. But, we would reconsider that if we needed to. I would ask the board if there are some changes to maybe approve and then work with staff on something like that. That's not objectionable to raise it a foot.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner? No? Are there any members of the public that would like to comment? Nope. All right. Thank you.
Sure.
We will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Jeff, we'll begin with you.
I'm comfortable with staff recommendation on this.
Virginia Mobley, no comment at this time.
Kirsten Connor, I disagree with Virginia's earlier comment about making the buildings the same, the foundation the same height. If you look further down the street, there are different variations. And just because the property is one with the two buildings, I don't think the buildings should have to be the same height. And I'm very happy with the 1 foot that they have decided upon to have that middle ground between the corner building and the cottage. I'm also in agreeance with staff recommendations, and I don't have any issue with the repeated height of the windows.
Kathy Ledvina, I would like to see hierarchy in the design, because looking at 217 to 19 Henry Street, I see the reasoning behind full-story windows where they enter onto a balcony. So on the front facade and then that one window on the back facade, which enter into the balcony, I feel that those actually have a use. The full-size windows elsewhere, I think it would be more visually compatible with shorter windows, but I understand what the petitioner is trying to do. My greater concern is the windows in the cottage. I would like to see the original openings, the historic openings, be infilled with the original window configuration sash pattern, the 3:1. That is in accordance with the Secretary of Interior standards. And since we as a board must abide by the Secretary of Interior standards, I think that needs to be added to the recommendations. For the approval of the petition. Pam
Miller, I appreciate the petitioner's concern about raising the elevation. And we've already asked them to reduce the height and everything. As far as I'm concerned, the staff recommendations seem okay to me, so probably go along with that.
May Boley, I'm also great with the existing foundation height. I'm fine with the consistent window height throughout the building. I do agree that putting the cottage style 3:1 in the historic openings on the cottage would be great. And since you're into that, let's do it.
I concur with what May said, 100%.
Further discussion, Jeff?
No additional discussion.
No comment.
Kirsten, Connor, I forgot about the 3-for-1. I do agree with you on that, Kathy. I think that would be more appropriate just specifically for the historic openings.
Ledvina, no further comment.
Pam Miller, I'm in agreement with the 3-for-1 as well, but no further comment.
May Bowley, no comment.
This is Darren. One thing, did we figure that out as far as the last meeting? Because there was that concern where it was mixed up as far as the 3-for-1 and the replacement where, you know, I just wanted to make sure that in the meeting minutes from September, what it was laid out as, because I'd hate the fact that we conveyed something that wasn't the way it was meant to be and what have you. So we don't have that happen again, because I don't want to waste your time or anybody else's time. It's.
Yeah. So I'm just looking at the staff recommendation of last time, and I mean, we could go through the minutes. That might take a little more time.
No,
says reselect the window proposed for the existing building from the windows brochure or provide additional information regarding the Elevate windows and ensure it meets the standards. But that's the only window issue in the recommendation. So
when we have some stuff come back from these, maybe we need those notes to see what was actually said, because it helps us a little bit better from what the proposal we made, because that's an unfortunate situation for you to say, oh, I'm going to redraw these windows in yet again. I know your time is expensive. Yes, the chair.
Sure. You can please approach the podium.
Just to say again, that's something that our client had previously approved. It's what we wanted. And so, but I will ask if we could just approve it with that one condition, then I'm quite sure my client will go along with that. So.
All right. Thank you. Sorry for the confusion. Caitlin, that's something that she can bring right to MPC, to you for approval,
yes.
Correct?
Correct.
Okay. Any further discussion by the board? Somebody willing to make a motion?
May Bowley, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of, will you scroll up for me, please? Approve the petition of, Array Design, 23-004701-COA at 1319 Jefferson Street with the following condition that the original openings on the accessory building be returned to 3-for-1 light pattern. Because the petition is otherwise in compliance with visual, I'm sorry, what? Excuse me, and that the openings in the addition be kept 1-for-1. Then new openings on the addition to the accessory dwelling be kept 1-for-1. Historic openings 3-for-1, addition openings 1-for-1. Yes? Okay, forgive me. With that condition, because the petition is otherwise in compliance with visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Is there a second?
Darren Bagley-Heath, I second that.
For the vote, Jeff?
Jeff Natrika, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Kirsten Connor, approved.
Pam Miller, approved.
May
Bowley, approved.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approved.
Motion passes. Thank you. Continuing to the Kyler Brownville District, the petition of Brianna Paxton, 516 West 40th Street, new construction, small parts 1 and 2 with a special exemption variance recommendation request.
Kirsten Connor, before we begin that, I would just like to disclose for the record that I work with the petitioner, Brianna Paxton, at Ethos Preservation. However, this is not an Ethos Preservation project, nor have I worked on this project, and I do not have a conflict of interest.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting the project for 516 West 40th Street. So the applicant is requesting approval for new construction, small parts 1 and 2, on the empty lot located at 516 West 40th Street. The property is owned by the Chatham County City of Savannah Land Bank, and it is required to be developed as designated affordable housing. The applicant is also requesting a special exception for the standard that reads floor-to-floor heights in single-family detached, single-family attached, two-family attached, and so forth. Dwellings, the exterior expression of the height of the first story shall not be less than 11 feet, and the height of the upper story shall not be less than 9 feet, to allow for the construction of a half story that is 8 feet. Per the applicant, to meet the land bank affordability guidelines, the sales price of the home is capped at no more than $225,000. It must be sold to a low to moderate income home buyer. Building smaller is more affordable. The proposed dwelling front porch elevation matches the contributing properties on either side to ensure the majority of the visual compatibility are met, but the cost estimates to build taller push the project budget above the line of economic feasibility. So just to go over the elevations. This is a pretty narrow lot that they're working with. And the site plan. And just to give some context, photos of the area. There was originally a house very similar to the ones that are existing in this empty lot here. And then just some surrounding neighborhood photos. So 516 West 40th Street, currently an empty lot consisting of multiple contributing resources, as well as at least two other empty lots. This block is situated between Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and Burroughs Street. The existing lot is a nonconforming lot, and based on the Sanborn fire insurance maps, it appears to have always been a narrow lot. Although the 400 and 600 blocks of West 40th Street back up to West 39th Lane, the 500 block has no lane access, and as seen on the Sanborn maps, it appears to have never had this access. This property is owned by the Chatham County City of Savannah Land Bank Authority, and thus, as mentioned, the maximum sales price of $225,000. There's also an affordability covenant that will be recorded with the deed to ensure the property remains affordable for 10 years. Initially, the proposed project was a two-story house like the existing contributing structures on the block. However, upon measuring the width of the site, the petitioner realized that there was only 28 feet between the houses. Within this area, the neighbors' HVAC units to the east extended the property line, making the buildable space less. The design was changed from 18 feet wide to the current 16-foot wide design, which still allows for a three-bedroom, two-bathroom house to be constructed on the narrow lot within the space constraints. The applicant also included a variance recommendation request to build a single-family home on the non-conforming lot, but due to the fact that these are existing conditions, it was determined a variance is not required. For the special exception criteria, the criterion one is whether the use for which the special exception is being considered would be located, operated, and maintained in a manner in conformance with the goals, policies, and objectives of the comprehensive plan and the provisions of this ordinance. That criterion is met. The special exception request is in conformance of the comprehensive plan, specifically Chapter 6, which discusses affordable housing and the provisions of the ordinance. Additionally, the project also aligns with the Housing Savannah Action Plan Strategy 2, increase and sustain housing improvement, development, purchase, and retention activity to benefit 15,000 households by 2032. And the Chatham County City of Savannah Land Bank Authority affordability guidelines. For criterion 2, whether the special exception would not be detrimental to the public interest, health, safety, welfare, function, and appearance of the adjacent uses or general vicinity. The criterion is met due to the narrow width of the non-conforming lot. Adding a half story that is 8 feet rather than 9 feet is not detrimental to the public interest. The applicant initially intended to build a two-story house similar to what is in the neighborhood, but due to the construction costs, it was not affordable to build that two-story house and maintain the price requirement. With regard to visual compatibility criteria, go back to these. Due to the narrow width of the lot and the conditions of the designated affordable maximum housing sales price, the compatibility of the height, width, and scale are partially met, but the special exception request addresses the reasoning as mentioned above. Although the half story is atypical for this block, the applicant designed the front porch elevation to match the contributing properties. The setbacks are visually compatible with the surrounding structures, specifically the two directly adjacent on either side of the proposed building. Probably help to have these pictures back up. Despite the non-conforming lot size, the applicant has designed the building in a way that evenly spaces it among the contributing buildings on the block, providing 4 feet on either side of the building. Additionally, staff found that the majority of the design standards were met, with the exception of a few items, including information on whether there are transparent features over a minimum of 30% of the ground floor facade, and that if the standard is not met, to apply for a special exception due to affordable housing costs. The porch roof is pitched at 712, but the standard for attached porch roofs is a pitch between 212 and 612. Need on the roof plan. Product information is needed for the lighting to ensure that it meets the standards. And there's a standard that requires new construction to include a private sidewalk that connects the main entrance or to the porch steps in this case. And I'll just show the site plan again. So with that, the staff recommendation is to approve the request for new construction small parts 1 and 2 on the vacant lot located at 516 West 40th Street with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for review and approval prior to the start of the project because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. 1, provide the window calculations for the side elevations to ensure there are transparent features over a minimum of 30% of the ground floor facade or apply for a special exception if it cannot be met due to the affordable housing cost requirements. Staff recommends lowering the pitch of the roof from 712 to 612 to meet the standard or apply for a special exception if necessary. 3, provide lighting product information to ensure that the fixture is constructed of metal and or glass and is a white light source. And 4, include a private sidewalk that connects to the public sidewalk and provide material specifications. And approve the special exception request for the standard that reads, floor-to-floor heights, in single-family detached and so forth dwellings, the exterior expression of the height of the first story shall not be less than 11 feet and the height of the upper story shall not be less than 9 feet. To allow for the construction of a half story, that is 8 feet because the special exception criteria are met. Thanks, and I'll be happy to answer your questions.
Are there any questions for staff? Kathy Libana, question. The illustration that is at the very end of this presentation,
yes.
That, I mean, the design, that is part of the plans that the housing bank uses, correct, consistently throughout the Kyler Brown bill?
I think it's based off of that, just kind of, yeah, edited a little to the
So there's no driveway, obviously. There's no, there's this stoop. With the door leading into, it does not exist. It doesn't show it on the site plan. That's why I'm a little confused.
That's and the petitioner has a presentation, and we'll go over some of those details.
Okay.
And address
those. I'll wait for that then.
All right. This is Darren. I have a question. So with a special exemption like this, because of the nature of the lot, we're not setting a precedent for other folks because we have an unusual lot, and therefore when we're setting a precedent as far as height of things and everything else, and the use of the land bank in particular, that the lot is unusable because it can only be used for affordable housing X, Y, and Z. that somebody else can come back with a different lot and go, well, you approved this here. Why can't I approve it here? Because we're doing it on economic scales and a unique and undersized lot, correct?
Right. I mean, that's, I think what we just have to take these case by case, but I don't think it would set a precedent.
And obviously the concern for the board when we do these things is that if we do this, are we setting a precedent for other folks to come in and, you know, use those exceptions that we've allowed in the past, but in a circumstance like this, I would imagine that it's not. And I just want that confirmation.
Sure, yeah.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for staff? Hearing none, will the petitioner please step forward and state your name for the record?
Hi, my name is Brianna Paxton. I'm here today on behalf of two parties, the purchaser, Brad Baugh of South Streets LLC, and the current property owner, which is the Chatham County Savannah Land Bank Authority, and their executive director, Allison Goldie. If you were unaware, the latest stats show that the Savannah area is in a 10,000 unit affordable housing deficit, and the land bank, as Mr. Darren already suggested earlier, is a major player in that because of their unique abilities to clear title, taxes, and liens, and they also have the flexibility to dispose of properties in any manner they see fit. In 2022, they decided that manner needs to be affordable housing with restrictions on who that house is sold to and deeds that affordability covenants that run with the property. So the purchaser, Brad Baugh, put together a redevelopment proposal for a single family house on this property because it's non-conforming and there's no other avenue at this time to build additional units without a text amendment allowing for increased density. So single family is the only thing we can do here. And we are under the impression that it was a 24-foot wide lot. So in all likelihood, this property will be sold to someone on this through the city's Dreammaker program, which is the down payment assistance. And the majority of those households on that list are female head of households with multiple children. So that's why we're trying to go for the three-bedroom, two-bath property. And as we mentioned before, the price is capped at $225. The income of the family purchasing it also has to be qualified. And then again, it runs for 10 years. So those are just some of the constraints between the affordability and HPC. So we're in the middle here trying to find common ground. As Caitlin mentioned, the property is on a block face with nearly all contributing properties between MLK and Burroughs. I wish we were here discussing the rehab of a contributing side hall cottage, but we're not. This property was taken down somewhere between 1998 and 2007 because it was included in the Kyler Brownville survey, 1998, and the Google Street View by 2007 shows it gone. As Caitlin shared earlier, we first came to her with a two-story design, hoping to be able to emulate a lot of the duplexes that are on the street face. But we had to trim the design from 18 feet to 16 feet due to encroachments that the neighboring property has. I tried my best to draw in here 514 West 40th and the 2 feet they have to the property line, but their existing encroachments of a small bump out and their HVAC units really limit us in our abilities here. And when we also started going through the guidelines and looking through, okay, we really need to raise the first floor up and just kind of trying to balance those prices, it brought us back down to a smaller design. So our property is outlined here in blue. The outline of the structure is in red, and the neighboring properties are shown in gray. This is the view on the left, straight from the street. And if you step onto the sidewalk and look between the two houses, this is the second view. Looking to the west, you can see all these beautiful side hall buildings like ours used to be. And to the right, there's one more side hall and then several duplexes. And you'll notice there are varying heights of those structures on the block face. Also, I wanted to point out in this right-hand photo, you can, towards the back of the property, On the greenhouse, you can see the small bump out in the HVAC units. This tree will also have to go, but we think this one in the rear is far enough back that it'll be okay. So here is our front elevation with the heights of the neighboring buildings. We only showed the property on the left because the properties on the left and right are the exact same. So we're trying to emulate both of those. We have done our best to raise the porch floors up to 3 feet 9 inches to match the elevation of the porches. They also match the neighbors in terms of setback from the sidewalk, depth of a 6-foot porch, and of course, all of the materials will be wood. And we did this to try to match visual compatibility for the main pedestrian experience. This is a very tight block as you're walking along. The front porch is kind of the repeat visual here, and we wanted to be able to match that pedestrian experience. Here is our oblique, which we did not include originally. This is not a Martin Freddy designed house. We found this one online when searching for a 16-foot wide house and thought this one fit very well with the neighborhood. And we did not include this originally because we have no way of taking away the porch in this visual and didn't want to confuse you. And we obviously don't have space for a driveway. But we have kind of moved that side porch to the rear, so there's additional access off the rear of the property. Let's see. This oblique also shows our roof pitches. We are also happy to adjust the porch roof to be 6'12" per Caitlin's recommendation. Here are the floor plans, which shows our very efficient way of getting 3 bedrooms and 2 baths in 1.5 stories. We have almost 50% of the front facade with transparent features since the standard states all facades visible from a street, and our property is settled in between 2 existing buildings. The side calculations aren't really feasible to be calculated, and we don't believe it'll be visible from the street. And seeing as that standard is written very broadly, we disagree with Caitlin and the staff recommendation on needing the side elevation calculations for windows there. Here is the rear elevation and the side elevations. As you can see, we've moved that small porch to the rear so they have another access to the property. Our materials include 1-of-1 wood windows, except for the transom window above the door, which will be fixed. Wood door, smooth hardy siding. We will also select hardy cedar shingles for the bit in the dormer, GAF 3D shingles, and a smooth stucco foundation. All the porch elements, as I said earlier, will be wood. And we know we still owe Caitlin a light image and integrating the concrete sidewalk to the city standards. In conclusion, we are here today seeking HPC special exception for the floor-to-floor heights and also seeking clarification on what we need to go to ZBA in terms of building on a non-conforming lot and asking for a waiver for parking. But looking to you guys to say, yes, this footprint is good, and moving forward with HPC or ZBA for whatever they have to review.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner?
This is Mabel.
This
is Mabel Lee. Brianna, would you repeat your objection to number one, the windows?
I don't think that standard is written very clearly. So where in the street is someone standing for that facade to be visible? Also, just looking at the other structures existing on the street, you can't really see the side elevations, and seeing how we're slotting our little house in here, I suspect that that will also be the case. There's also significant vegetation from the street blocking the view.
Thanks.
I have a question, Virginia Mobley. In looking at your plan that you put up for the floor plan, and I realize we don't address the inside, okay, but the floor plan shows the main bedroom in the back.
Yes.
And you have a door and stoop or a small porch back there. Are you going to follow this configuration? Or are you changing it so that it will be a rear entrance to the house?
It will be really as a rear egress, but it will be through that back bedroom. That's kind of our only option. Okay. But there, seeing as it's a landlocked lot, it's really would be for the family to go out in the backyard. There's not really a lane or anything that would necessarily make you enter the house that way on a normal basis.
Okay.
Kathy Lidbun, my question is on floor plan one, where the door and stoop in the plan existed in your rendering, obviously there's your opportunity for the window and to comply with the 30% transparency guideline. At least on that side of the building.
I don't know that window would be visible from the street seeing how far back it is, but I understand there is an opportunity there, but.
Any other questions for the petitioner? Anybody online? Oh, excuse me. Are there any members of the public who would like to comment? Is there anybody online? No. All right. We will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Let's begin with you, Jeff.
No comment.
Virginia Mobley, no comment.
Kirsten Connor, I agree with staff recommendations. I guess I'm unaware if that's something that needs to be followed or what exactly that means for the board as making a decision for that. Kaylin, is that something you can speak to?
Yeah, I'm just trying to get the staff report up on my computer so I can.
Okay,
I can read from the standard, just so you know.
We can also come back to that if you guys want to continue making your comments.
Yeah, there's just the standard is all residential facades visible from a street shall incorporate transparent features. Oh, I just lost it. over a minimum of 30% of the ground floor facade, but I understand the petitioner's comment also that, you know, from a street perspective, somebody standing on the sidewalk, how much will they see? But I know in other affordable housing projects recently, they have done the special exception for the 30% to have fewer than that on the side elevations. So that was the origin of that.
Kathy Lidvina, I agree with staff recommendations. I am in agreeance with the 30% transparency guideline. I think there are opportunities to add windows in that doorway. You could add it on the other facade in the living room area. If you look at the floor plan, I'm a big advocate, as you know, for windows. Obviously, they add a lot of natural light. They add fresh air, cross ventilation. I think it brings a brighter, more cheerful mood to the interior, which I think should be a concern for affordable or not affordable housing. The standard is in place. It says states 30%. And if you choose to go request a variance, obviously, that's your right to do so. But I agree with staff in requiring the 30%, whether it's affordable housing or not.
Pam?
Pam Miller, I'm going to go along with staff recommendations on this one.
May Bowie, if
we hold them to the staff recommendations, do they have to return to seek that special exception? Is that another 30-day period, or is that something that could be? It seems like that would be.
I think, I mean, if you wanted them to return, we could, but we could review it.
You could,
yes,
for a special
exception.
That could be deferred
to staff.
Board vote.
We, you know, maybe we would do that as a board.
Right.
If it's something though that the drawings were just redesigned to have more to the 30%, then that could be staff level.
Okay. Got it.
If it was the special exception to keep it as it currently is,
that would require
we may have to bring that back. Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Caitlin.
Darren?
I'm just excited to see some affordable housing proposals. I think this is great. And I agree with the staff recommendations 100%. But the quicker we can get more affordable housing for people in the city, the better.
Any further discussion from the board?
Jeff Natriga, no comment.
I agree with Virginia Mobley. I agree with you, Kathy, on the necessity for at least 30% on the of the windows on a facade. The idea of affordable housing is that someone can live in that house without the cost of maintenance and utilities. And if you don't provide air movement, you're going to have them solely relying on electricity.
Good point.
Kirsten? Kirsten Connor, I can see the applicant's point with the ordinance being read because it also confuses me a little bit because it seems like it can go either way. But other than that, I agree with staff recommendations.
Kathy Levina, they'd have a special exemption for the height, then they'd have to request a special exemption for the windows. That's two separate special exemptions.
Yeah, it
and
would.
And then a special exceptions, excuse me. And then, go ahead.
No, I was going to just say that even if it had come in together, like they are still reviewed, like they're taken out separately. So that they're analyzed, you know, by each standard that they're asking for the exception on. So it would be, yeah, I mean, it would just be another request for that.
Okay. But if they chose to comply with the 30%, it would be staff approval.
Correct. Yeah. Then there would be no need.
A fee or application.
Right.
Thank you. Pam?
Pam Miller,
and what's the percentage of the minimum that's already transparent on that?
It's 30% minimum.
But where are we now?
Oh, I'm not sure. That was not.
No.
Yeah.
No idea.
I'm sure that's something they may be able to calculate.
Yeah.
But
yeah, could one window do?
Yeah. No, I mean maybe some of it is already, but I don't.
Or a window in that back door or something. So, all right. Anyway, I will just go along with staff recommendations. No further comment.
May Boley, just briefly, got to say some of my favorite houses in Savannah are the little ones that are tucked in between the bigger ones. So I think this is a great design. I agree with Darren. Thank you.
Is there a motion?
May Boley. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Brianna Paxton 23-005731-COA at 516 West 40th Street with the following conditions, 1 through 4, as recommended by staff, and approve the special exception request for floor-to-floor height as recommended by staff because the position is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Kirsten Connor, a second.
For the motion, Darren?
Darren Begley-Heath, approve.
Maboli, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Jeff Nutrika, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you.
Continuing to the petition of Ward Architecture and Preservation, 505 West 36th Street, rehabilitation, new construction, small parts 1 and 2, and a contributing demolition.
Thank you. This is Caitlin again, presenting for 505 West 36th Street. The applicant is requesting approval for rehabilitation and alterations to the main building at 505 West 36th Street and to demolish and rebuild an accessory structure on the rear of the property. So just to kind of show some elevations of the existing. And this is the existing accessory structure and the proposed new one. The main house and accessory structure. Were built in 1913. Both are listed as contributing resources within the local Kyler Brownville Historic District, added in 2021. However, they are listed as non-contributing in the National Register, Kyler Brownville Historic District. The buildings have been subject to a long period of vacancy, but the main house served most recently as the Kaya House Museum. It was just neighborhood pictures, but somewhere there was other photos. The 1898 Sanborn map shows an empty lot on the site, but by 1916 there was a two-story wood frame dwelling with a one-story wraparound porch and a two-story wood frame accessory structure noted as an auto garage. The later maps of 1953 in 1955-56, along with the 1937 cadastral survey, so that neither building underwent any major changes. The main house, however, underwent many alterations, including removal of the wraparound porch, the addition of the wrought iron railings, a large two-story window opening on the front facade, and the enclosure of a small porch at the southeast corner of the building. The changes began in 1959 as part of the efforts to convert the building into a museum. Regarding the demolition, any structure proposed for demolition in one of the historic districts must follow the standards from Section 3.18.8 HPC criteria for relocation or demolition. And just trying to find the photos, the condition photos. Okay. The accessory structure at 505 East 36th Street is listed as a contributing building on the contributing resources map for the local Kyler Brownville Historic District. It appears that the carriage house meets the criterion about embodying the distinctive characteristics of type, period, or method of construction. This was a vernacular building that, according to the Sanborn and cadastral maps, served as a garage for the property. This accessory structure is not associated with the Kaya Museum period. The applicant provided a letter from the structural engineer who evaluated the carriage house. The letter states that the lack of maintenance over a long period of vacancy, termite infestations, and environmental factors make it difficult to even temporarily shore up or stabilize. This creates an undue hardship on the owner that was existing prior to the current ownership. For contributing resource, a detailed explanation for the demolition and why it cannot be avoided. This standard is met via the letter from a structural engineer and exterior elevation photos showing the deteriorated conditions on the outside of the building. No photographs of the interior were included.
though it may be due to the safety reasons that this was not included, staff observation also verifies that this does not appear to be a structure that anybody would want to step in at this time. The letter outlines the reasons, though, why demolition cannot be avoided, including lateral deformation resulting in significant building drift. This appears to be the result of loss of stiffness of lateral elements due to deterioration of sheathing and rot observed in vertical support elements. Foundation deterioration due to weathering and additional stress due to tree impact. Roof and floor framing deterioration and failure at connection and bearing elements. Significant deterioration in floor and roof sheathing and severe termite damage throughout. These conditions have led to safety concerns regarding the rehabilitation of the structure, particularly the ability to safely shore the structure to allow construction activities to commence. Information documenting the construction date, history, and development of the property was provided by the applicant. The standard is met. And then the other, one of the other criterion is a report from a Georgia licensed structural engineer with demonstrated experience in historic renovation, restoration, or rehabilitation as to the structural soundness of the contributing resource. The report shall also identify any dangerous structural conditions. M. Cody Tharp with the Tharp Engineering Group conducted the survey, noting the lack of structural soundness and identifying dangerous structural conditions as mentioned above. The staff recommends the following conditions: that the building is documented per the MPC policy for documenting buildings as per what can safely be done given the building's condition. And rather than traditional demolition, the building be deconstructed and the materials salvaged for reuse where possible. The applicant has provided drawings for the proposed new ADU on site, which has a slightly larger footprint. The existing accessory structure is 468 square feet, and the proposed new ADU would be 510 square feet. So this is the existing, this is the existing site plan, and this is proposed. Regarding the Secretary of the Interior standards, the proposed work on the main house is in-kind repair and restoration. The intent is to restore the house back to the Kaya Museum era, keeping many of the features that were added at this time, such as the two-story window on the front elevation. Staff found that the Secretary of the Interior standards were met for the main house. Regarding the carriage house's deteriorated condition, as noted in the structural report, it is severely deteriorated to the point that it is no longer structurally sound enough to stabilize and restore, thus the structural engineer's recommendation to demolish and rebuild. For design standards, due to the fact that the property will become an operating museum again, it falls under the category of monumental buildings. Monumental buildings are not subject to strict application of the design standards, but are still subject to being reviewed under visual compatibility criteria, mechanical equipment and refuse, parking and paving, and fences and walls. So the mechanical equipment, refuse, parking, paving, fences, and walls were either met or did not apply. With regard to visual compatibility, the majority of the standards were met. The east and west elevations were of the proposed ADU include gridded wall elements with a combination of casement, accent windows, or smooth wood panels of varying colors. The intent is to echo the window elements seen on the front facade of the main building, and in that sense, there is a degree of visual compatibility. On the main house, the 24-square picture window faces the front elevation, whereas the proposed ADU features its design on the side elevations, where it may not relate visually to the main building and multiplies the effect on a smaller structure being on both sides. Steph just found this to be a little more contemporary in relation to the surrounding contributing resources and just had a comment to see if there was a possibility of revisiting the design for visual compatibility purposes with the various contributing resources to which it is visually related. And to get the other perspectives. So with that, staff recommends to approve the request for rehabilitation and alterations to the main building at 505 West 36th Street and to demolish and rebuild an accessory structure at the rear of the property with the following conditions for staff review and approval prior to starting the project because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. One, the building must be documented per the MPC policy for documenting buildings. Two, rather than traditional demolition, the building be deconstructed and the material salvaged for reuse. And three, revise the wall design on the east and west facades of the proposed ADU to meet the visual compatibility standards regarding the contributing buildings, which it's visually related to. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff? Kathy Ledvina.
Okay.
Did you go out and actually inspect the carriage house, the accessory?
We looked at it from the lane and didn't really feel comfortable going closer to it just because of its state. So, but yes, we saw it in person.
Thank you. Any other questions for staff? Hearing none, will the petitioner please step forward and state your name for the record?
Hi, my name is Josh Ward with Ward Architecture and Preservation. Thank you, staff, for the review of the project. And just to talk a little bit more about the existing accessory dwelling unit in the rear. There's some clarity that needs to be given. So it's not the building is listed as contributing to the local historic district, but not to the Tyler Brownville National Register Historic District because the changes that had occurred in 1959 when Kaya bought it and turned it into a museum. So it's it has some level of significance because of those changes. And because of the Kaya Museum's historical significance, the main building has been determined eligible for listing in the National Register of Historic Places by the Georgia Historic Preservation Division, but the two-story accessory building was identified as non-contributing resource on the property in relation to that building. So again, it's been, it's on the local district's contributing building, but other resources have said it's not contributing. We agree with staff's comments one and two. We would really enjoy, however, if we could keep the east and west wall interpretation on the new carriage house. You know, we took this opportunity with the new building to try to inject a little creativity into this building and to tie it in with the main structure as well. And that's where this sort of interpretive gridded element came from. So happy to discuss that some more, answer your questions if you have any.
Are there any questions for the petitioner?
Kirsten Connor, this isn't a question. I just wanted to say I'm very excited to see this building returned to the Kaya period. I also, this can be in my comments later, but I do like the gridded panel wall on the accessory building. I think it's very intuitive and I appreciate the relation to the main building with that.
Kathy Ledvina, question for the petitioner. There were no interior photographs shown for the carriage house building?
Correct, yes, in its current state. So the structural engineer who inspected it did that before I became involved in the project, so I wasn't on site when he did that analysis. And I have not been able to take the window cover, the boards down to look in it. And it's, as staff suggested, it looks a little precarious, so we haven't gotten inside of it to see what.
The structural engineer did not go inside?
Yeah, yes.
And he didn't have photographs?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
You asked him?
Well, I've asked for the report, so I can ask and see if he can provide those later, but.
When you said that the carriage house was a contributing building locally, what changes to the carriage house were made that would disregard it as a historic contributing building?
Well, it's not contributing to the main house, the Kiowa Museum at this point, as concerned by the Georgia Historic Preservation Division. There was a survey conducted, I think, 2021 that identified contributing buildings to the local district, and it was added to the buildings. The two buildings were added at that time. They weren't contributing before that, according to whoever did the survey. So those two buildings
that was the update. You're talking about the update to the contributing buildings map.
Yes, these two buildings were added at that time.
So the contributing building, Caitlin, I guess the question for staff then. Caitlin, the contributing building map did not go forward and nominate the buildings to update the National Register nomination?
I don't believe so.
I think what has to happen is the period of significance for the National Register district has to be updated first before you can add these other buildings in.
So this was built in 1950, the carriage house?
1913, I believe, is the original date.
What's the period of significance for Kyla Brownville?
1867 and 1937, but it was not originally part of that nomination. When the National Register nomination was done, it was not added
correct.
To that.
I understand what you're saying, but I thought, Caitlin, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that when you updated you're saying no. So the updates to the National Register, the updates were only for the local, and they did not, you did not push them towards the national.
That was before my time here, but as far as I know, it was just the local district.
Okay. That makes more sense. Thank you.
Kirsten Connor, Kathy, to your questions, just based on seeing this building in person and the fact that I believe it did have a tree fall, it's in pretty bad shape.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner from the board? Are there any members of the public who'd like to step forward? Please state your name for the record.
My name is Ryan Jarles, Director of Preservation and Historic Properties for Historic Savannah Foundation. As many of you know, we did own this property through our revolving fund program, and we did recently sell it to a group that is now called the Kaya House Museum Incorporated. So it's going to, again, be the Kaya House Museum. Just to answer some confusion maybe about the carriage house and its contributing status, sometimes our local districts add buildings just because they're within the date of significance, but they were never ever deemed historic via the state of Georgia or the National Register. So we have moved forward with adding the main building to the National Register. We're within that process currently. So the main building was determined eligible. The carriage house was determined ineligible at that time. So still at this point, it was deemed ineligible. And just to go into its conditions, the building is leaning into the neighboring property at this point. So we do have concerns that at any moment it may become part of their property, and we are trying to make sure that that doesn't happen. I personally have opened portions of the building and have pieces collapse down into that opening. It's very much termite ridden, and it has been for probably 20 plus years. Fortunately, that has not moved into the main structure. They've got plenty of food where they're at now, so that's fortunate for us, unfortunate for the carriage house. We just want to say thank you to the wards for all the work they've done for us. And we do support the design as it is for the carriage house with the panel design. The carriage house is being utilized as the restrooms or a portion of restrooms for the main building. So we see it as a continuance of that monumental building that it is. Therefore, we see that additional things can happen to this building that wouldn't normally happen to an ADU within this neighborhood. So we do support that design. Again, we just want to thank everyone who's been involved with this project in getting it to move forward. And we would like to see it approved as is. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public who'd like to speak? Is there anybody online? We will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times, 2 minutes or less. Start with you, Jeff.
Jeff Notrika, no comment.
Virginia Mobley, no comment.
Kirsten Connor, I agree with staff recommendations except for number three, the paneled wall. Due to this being a monumental structure, I think the fact that this carriage house design is a new design, therefore it can be a little bit more modern, but also the building being used for the Kaya significant original use, and the fact that it is not visible from the main right-of-way, only from the lane, I think that it's acceptable, though it might not be visually compatible if it were in visible from the main right away. So I am in support of keeping number or taking number three out of the staff recommendation.
Kathy Ledvina, I've been out to the building and I have looked. I'm not convinced that it can't be saved, but I have not been inside nor have I seen any photographs or even tried to get inside and no boards have fallen on me. That's my question.
Pam Miller, I have no comment.
May Boley, I've also been out to look at it, haven't been inside. It's pretty dodgy. It's pretty dodgy. It's dodgy. I do think the condition is sufficiently bad, and considering all the other arguments that have been made, I would support staff recommendations. I'm very proud to see this moving forward. I'm really excited that it's happening. This is well overdue. It's very timely. This building needs some love. Bravo team for making it happen. This is significant and noteworthy. I also wanted to comment that I agree with Kirsten. The building's history is singular and the design should be singular. This is a case where we don't want the building to specifically blend. This is a case where it standing out is appropriate. It did stand out historically, the historic modifications to it, which are now such a huge part of its character and meaning in the community, deserve to be emphasized rather than sort of faded. So I think the design is cool. Love to see some innovation. Really love to see this building punctuated. So I would support staff recommendations and I would remove condition three as well. Thank you.
Yes, May, thank you. I agree with that as well as far as removing number three, the fact that the building was a museum in the past. It's going to honor the previous owner and continue to move forward with that legacy, having a museum in that neighborhood, drawing people to that neighborhood, having something that is somewhat a little bit more of a statement as far as the ADU, which is going to be, as they said, a restroom. But it's honoring the person that was there. We're building something, and I thank the wards for doing that and saying, let's put something in that's a little bit more of a design that's acknowledging the previous use and the mission of those folks that live there. I think it's amazing. So I agree. Approving it with and removing number three, I would be completely behind.
Any further discussion?
I just want to add, after listening to my well-versed colleagues, I would go with staff recommendations and removal of three.
I also want to add, Kirsten Connor, I would like to add, May, you said that much more eloquently than me. So yes, thank you.
All right, is there a motion?
May Boley. I'm on it, you guys. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Ward Architecture and Preservation 23-005730-COA at 505 West 36th Street with the following conditions 1 and 2 based on staff recommendations, because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Is there a second?
Kirsten Connor, I second.
Vote for the motion, Jeff.
Jeff Fontrica, approve.
Virginia Mobley, second. Approved, excuse me.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Bea Miller, approve.
Mabel Lee, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Motion carries. Thank you. Moving to the streetcar district, the petition of Ward Architecture and Preservation, 302 through 308 West 38th Street, new construction, large, parts 1 and 2.
So the applicant requests an approval for new construction, part 1, height and mass, and part 2, design details for 6 attached single-family residences. For vacant parcels located at 302, 306, and 308 West 38th Street. For some context, this project was previously approved by HPC on September 22nd, 2021. Work did not take place, however, so the COA expired on September 22nd, 2023. When the project was previously approved, it did come with some conditions. The applicant did address these, and these are provided in your packets. The project itself, again, includes townhomes. These townhomes are two stories with hipped roofs. They have an overall height of 33 feet. As you can see with the plans, they have two-story bays and a first-floor porch on the front facade. These townhomes are connected with a low-pitch connector element. These are the rear. Property will also have some garages that face the lane. Overall, they are detached from the primary structures. They also have hipped roofs and overall height of about 15 feet. They have a simple design and are connected with a low-pitch connector piece. These townhomes, as well as outbuildings, meet base zoning, visual criteria, and the criteria for this particular district. So with that, staff recommends approval for new construction, part 1, height and mass, and part 2, design details for 6 attached single-family residences for the vacant parcels located at 302, 306, and 308 West 38th Street as requested, because the proposed work is visibly compatible and meets the standards.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff?
This is Darren Bagley-Heath. So nothing has changed from the plans we approved in 2021, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And there's no, we haven't changed anything in any ordinances since that point, correct?
That I'm unsure.
Nothing that would affect that, right?
I'm getting over knee replacement, so.
Nothing has changed since.
That's correct. The only thing that happened to them was that they let the COA expire. But looking at this, everything is as it was previously when it was approved.
Okay.
And Melanie Wilson, Executive Director, just for the record.
Thank you. Any other questions for staff? Hearing none, would the petitioner please like to step forward?
Hi, this is Josh Ward with Ward Architecture and Preservation again. Happy to answer any questions if anybody has any.
I guess the basic. Has anything changed since the previous submittal?
No.
Darren, you're convinced? Excellent.
I don't see if there's anything else that we need to talk about.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public who would like to step forward? Anybody online? Hearing none, we will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member, if necessary, two times to speak for 2 minutes or less.
No comment. I like staff approval.
Virginia Mobley speaking on my two occasions. No comment.
Kirsten Connor, no comment.
Kathy Levine, that's good.
Pam Miller, no comment.
May Bowley, no comment.
Darren Bagley Heath, no comment.
Any need for further discussion? Is there a motion?
I'm going to see if I can do this.
Great.
I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Ward Architecture, petition number 23-005722-COA for the property located at 302, 306, 308 West 38th Street, as submitted because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Is there a second?
May Bowley, second.
Thank you. For the vote, Darren?
Darren Bagley Heath, approve.
May Bowley, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Jeff Nutrika, approve.
Motion carries. Thank you. Continuing to the petition of Shane Fatland, 102 East 38th Street, porch reconstruction.
The applicant is requesting approval for the reconstruction of the front porch and the restoration of a stained glass window of the property located at 102 East 38th Street. This project was first heard at the September 27, 2023 HPC meeting. Here, the board voted to approve the rehabilitation of the main structure, as well as approve the application of stucco and paint on the accessory building. Only part of the rehab that was not approved at this time was the porch reconstruction, the stained glass window restoration. That work, that part of that project was continued. So again, some context, the main house is a circa 1900 structure that contributes to the Thomas Square Streetcar National Historic Register District and the local streetcar historic district. And it first appeared in 1916 at Sanborn map. So for the porch, it has been completely removed minus the brick foundation. The notes on the new drawing state that all porch columns, newel posts, and pickets to be decorative turned wood similar to what's existing. Staff finds that the proposed reconstruction works meet the Secretary of Interior standards, as well as the visual compatibility criteria and the streetcar historic district design standards. With a window, the stained glass will be repaired at that time, so this work meets the standards. With that, that recommends approval for the reconstruction of the front porch and the restoration of the stained glass window for the property located at 102 East 38th Street as requested because the proposed work is visibly compatible and meets the standards. It's also worth knowing that staff did receive public comment for this project. Someone was attached to the agenda. You also received a hard copy at the start of this meeting. We do have those photos as well if y'all want to see those again.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for staff?
Kirsten Connor, I just for this staff report, I'm not sure if Leah had completed it or what. I was wondering if the photos that were submitted were taken into account when approving this porch reconstruction.
I truly don't know.
That's okay. I figured as much. Just curious.
Kathy Levine, I had the exact same question because the Secretary of Interior standards are certainly, they would recommend obviously reinstalling the porch in the historic configuration. Any other questions for staff? State your name for the record.
Hello, everyone. Shane Fatland.
I'd like to comment on a staff recommendation or I guess by now you've received the photos as well.
What photos do you speak?
Are they on here?
Go down.
So I have to reiterate this just for public record, at least. I did not remove this porch. It's been gone for, maybe you know, Virginia, I don't know, but we removed the decking. Like, that's it. So we've done a decent amount of research to get to the point that these drawings are at, and obviously I had my freedom without these. Leah gave me these quite after the fact, 3 weeks after the last meeting. So these have already been drawn, we're already done. And I kind of made the comment like, damn, we did pretty darn close. Can I just stick with my plans though, since there's also structural drawings that the architect did that are helpful for construction? And she said, you know, oh, it would be so nice. And you have this historic photo. I'm like, I'm so close. Can you just put me in front of the council and see what they say? Because we're almost there.
All right. And are there any questions for the petitioner?
Kirsten Connor, I have a question for the petitioner. Everything, I mean, looks pretty similar to what you designed. The only thing is that little gable at the front.
Yeah.
Would you be amenable to just making it I guess it would be more of a hipped side roof there?
Certainly would make construction cheaper.
I think that would be, and I can discuss this with the board later, but.
This is just kind of the house of 1,000 gables.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought when we were putting the porch back on that that would probably relate really well.
You know, that was a very intuitive decision without the photos. So,
right.
But thank you. I appreciate that.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner?
Hey, Bully, this probably is obvious, but the extent of your submittal in terms of details on the porch, what we're looking at is not a simplified drawing. That's an actual drawing, like square posts.
The square posts were noted at the bottom of it with the photo of the original Juliet balcony.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't get back to where. And I wasn't really aware there would be a point of contention. My architect thought that it would clutter and confuse the drawing.
Right.
So yes, I mean, and I'm making these columns and spindles. They will be exactly what is actually there.
Okay, so the drawing is simplified, and your intention is to recreate the historic profiles on
the... Yes, so there they are.
Yes.
And I can get... I mean, I'm making them. No one will know that they've never been there.
Cool. Love to hear it.
Yeah. All right.
Any other questions for the petitioner?
So, Kathy Levin, just to clarify, this is the simplified drawing. You are actually turning all of the balusters and the balustrade?
Yes.
The spindles or whatever you want to call it?
This is the note in the architecture right here. All new porch columns, new posts, pickets, and decorative turned wood similar to existing upper-level porch elevation. Similar, he was probably just giving me an easy day, but I can, they'll be the same.
There'll be a match. There'll be a replica. Yeah. Okay.
And especially now that I have the historic photos, like, obviously that's what the porch columns were exactly the same.
Any other questions for the petitioner? All right. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak? Please state your name for the record.
Ryan Jarles, Director of Preservation with Historic Savannah Foundation. We're excited to see this project going forward, and we love that they will be spun by the petitioner. That's pretty cool. And to Mrs. Connor's comment, we would be fine with the removal of that gable as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public? Anybody online? No.
We will now enter into board discussion. At this point, all the public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Let's start with you, Darren.
I have no comment at this time.
May Boley, so pumped to see this building getting restored as well. I love to hear that the petitioner is going to do the work, that he's going to do it right. I would request maybe for staff review some sketches of the intended work, right? Obviously, you don't need to come before the board again, but just verify that what you're going to do is what you say you're going to do with staff before you do it. And then thank you very much for bringing this building back.
Pam Miller, I agree. I'm looking forward to seeing the final product. I've driven by that building every morning for years and years, so really looking forward to it. I think I've seen you guys out there working recently, too, so somebody's been out there, yeah. So anyway, thank you.
Kathy Ledvina, I agree.
Kirsten Connor, I agree, and I would love that. I love that you're amenable to removing that gable. Just make it simpler, and I hope it saves you money, so that's great. Thank you.
Virginia Mobley, I agree.
Jeff Nutrika, I approve.
Is there any further discussion by board? Hearing none, is there a motion?
This is Pam Miller. I'll make the easy motions. So I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Shane Batlin for the petition number 23-004332-COA. The property located at 102 East 38th Street as submitted because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Pam, you forgot the one condition of the gable on the front porch.
Of the proposed detail.
You didn't get
Sorry,
the easy
you thought
one.
It was an easy one. It wasn't.
So I have to prove that with conditions.
Yeah, just the one with the gable and the other being just staff
with the
staff
following
approval
conditions
of the details.
The drawing of the detail and the what are we saying the gable is
the gable
exactly?
On the porch roof.
The gable on the porch roof.
To be removed.
Is that correct? I'm gonna mess
You might wanna state it.
You
then,
need to restate
Kirsten.
The motion.
Okay. I move that Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Shane Batlin, petition number 23004332COA at property located at 102 East 38th Street with the following conditions. Number one, that the drawing be submitted. I'm going to mess this one up.
It's okay.
Submit the drawing of the balusters.
Porch details for staff review.
And the second is to remove the gable, right?
On the porch.
From the porch.
Roof, yeah.
Because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Sorry. I apologize.
Mabel,
a
second.
Means.
You did great, man.
You did great. For the vote, Jeff?
Jeff Nutrika, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
May Bully, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Motion carries. Thank you so much. Good luck.
Just for the record, because I don't want to have any misunderstanding, you want staff to review those changes that you've proposed. Okay. Yeah. We just want to make it clear.
Yes.
Continuing on to the petition of Echo Friendly Construction and Design, 508 East 33rd Street, new construction, small parts one and part two.
Okay. All right, thank you. This is Caitlin again. The applicant is requesting approval for new construction, small parts one and two to build a two-story wood frame house and an accessory dwelling unit on an empty lot at 508 East 33rd Street. The aerial view of the empty lots. And some of the neighborhood context of the existing historic properties.
the site plan showing both proposed structures. There's another aerial view and then streetscape views. The 508 East 33rd Street is an empty lot on the block of East 33rd Street between Price Street and Plant Avenue. All the houses on this block are contributing resources predominantly built between 1900 and 1910. In 1916, according to the Sanborn map, the structure on this property was a greenhouse that spanned the length of the lot. By the 1950s, the change noted as a wood-framed store with a greenhouse building in the rear. The structures on this lot were still standing, as seen on the 1966 Sanborn map, and a search of the Google Street View photos for this address show it had been an empty lot since at least 2007. This project was on the continued agenda last month in order to provide the applicant time to address some items staff found did not meet the standards. After conversations based on the staff report findings, the applicant submitted their current submittal packet. Overall, staff found the project is visually compatible and meets the standards for design, zoning, and ADUs. So we'll take a look at these elevations. So this is the house elevations and then the proposed ADU elevations. Most of the measurements were included on the drawings, including the railing height. However, the 4 inches or less spacing between the balusters was not noted. Staff is recommending this information is provided on the drawings to ensure that the standard is met. So with that, staff recommends to approve the proposed new construction of a two-story house and an accessory dwelling unit on the empty lot located at 508 East 33rd Street to allow the applicant time to address the following and submit to staff for review. Ensure that the spacing between balusters is no greater than 4 inches on center. Thank you.
Any questions for staff? Hearing none, would the petitioner like to step forward? Petitioner in the room? No. Is there anybody online? Petitioner online? No? Okay. Is the any members of the public like to step forward and speak on this petition? No. Hearing now, we will enter board discussion at this time. All public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. Each board member will be called on 2 times for 2 minutes or less. Let's start with you, Darren.
I have no comment.
Hey, Bowley, no comment.
Pam Miller, no comment.
Kathy Libina, no comment.
Kirsten Connor, no comment.
Virginia Mobley, no comment.
Jeff Dentrica, no comment.
Any further discussion necessary? Hearing done, is there a motion?
Oh my God.
Okay, Mae Bowley. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Eco-Friendly Construction and Design Incorporated 23-005131-COA at 508 East 33rd Street with staff condition number 1, because the petition is otherwise in compliance with visual compatibility criteria and standard as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Virginia Mobley, second.
For the vote, Jeff?
Jeff Notarica, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Miller, approve. Mae Bowley, approve.
Darren Bagley, Heath, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you. Moving to the petition of Core Design and Architecture for 17 West 32nd Street, new construction, small, part 1 and 2.
Thank you. This is Caitlin again, presenting for 417 West 32nd Street. The applicant is requesting approval for the construction of a new two-story house on the vacant lot located at 417 West 32nd Street. This block of West 32nd Street is situated between MLK Boulevard and Montgomery Street. The block contains several vacant lots and a one-story non-contributing structure. So here's just some street views. And then this is the contributing resources map. I realize 34th isn't visible on here, but this is the block. All right, so just for the site plan, got floor plans here. And elevations. Staff found some of the standards were met, but noted that some items where information is still needed or adjustments are needed in order to meet the standards. The first floor height is just below the minimum height of 11 feet at 10 and a half. Since the overall height of the building is 31 feet and the max height for TC1 is 45, making a slight adjustment will not put this over the maximum height. Regarding windows, the information is needed to show that the muntins for the two over two windows are 7-8 inches or less. For the porch, they're required to be 6 feet deep at a minimum, and this is 5 feet 7 inches, so just slightly under. And the cap and base moldings are needed for the columns. Info is also needed to show that there is no more than 4 inches on center on the balusters. It appears that the eaves are 2 feet from the building or from, you know, supporting walls, but staff recommends that any gable and rakes overhang at least 8 inches and to be shown on the drawings. If there's any exterior lighting proposed, staff would need to evaluate the proposed product. And then the last one here is that there's a driveway proposed on either side because there would be a duplex. But since there is no lane, again, in this instance, so that is possible to do. But per the ordinance, they would just need to change from concrete driveways to ribbon strip driveways. So with that, staff recommends approve the request to construct a new two-story duplex, new construction, small parts 1 and 2, on the vacant lot located at 417 West 32nd Street with the following conditions: for staff review and approval prior to starting the project because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. 1, adjust the first floor height to 11 feet. 2, submit information showing that the muntins for the 2/2 windows are 7-8 inches or less in width. 3, adjusting the plans to allow for a minimum 6-foot porch depth as noted above and include cap and base moldings on the porch columns. 4, include information on the drawings that note there is no more than 4 inches on center spacing between the balusters. 5, include information that shows any gable and rakes overhang at least 8 inches. 6, if exterior lighting is proposed, submit the product specifications. And 7, revise the concrete driveways to be ribbon strip and therefore in compliance with the standard. Thank you. I'll be happy to answer your questions.
Are there any questions for staff?
May Bully, I have one. Did you have any back and forth with the petitioner on this one?
No.
None at all?
No.
Okay, interesting.
Any other questions? Would the petitioner like to step forward, state your name for the record?
Hi, my name is Tim Kinsey with Core Design. I guess some of the comments, they're all easily corrected. The window will definitely have the correct muttons in them. The floor-to-floor height would be an easy adjustment. That was my error in the documents. Again, with the balusters, they'll obviously be the code, so no more than 4 inches spacing. The eaves, absolutely, I can keep those inside compliance between 12 and 8 inches. The exterior lighting, we'll go through with the developer and pick out a light that's suitable, compliant with the neighborhood. And then likewise, the driveways will be ribbon style, as noted. Any questions?
Are there any questions for the petitioner? Kathy Lidvina, I have a couple. What are the column widths? And I think maybe the drawings might be, they show two different things. The front facade, it shows you've got these colossal columns. They're not divided one-story columns. Are those columns one-story columns, or are they actually colossal columns? And then the width of the columns.
So the way they'll be built, they're 8x8 pressure treated columns.
Uh-huh.
And then each floor will be divided with base trim and cap trim.
Okay.
And then the actual construction will, will hold on to those.
Okay. So they are one story columns. It just on the front facade, they show as one continuous column. And I was a little concerned. And then in the details you are okay with, wood band trim on the cornice line at the top, typically on this style of home. And I'm going to say it's sort of a Queen Anne-ish. There's a band board on the top.
Yes,
would
ma'am.
You be amenable to adding
absolutely.
That?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
And then is your bay window, is it a bay window? Does it go all the way to the ground, or is it an oriel window?
It is a bay. The foundation is
goes to the ground.
Goes to the ground.
Goes to the ground. Okay. And then I was just making sure that it was. And, what do I have? I'm just looking at my notes. I apologize. Oh, the pediment on the front. So typically, again, on a Queen Anne, that pediment, the second floor pediment, you would add, you would see a little bit more detail in that pediment triangle, if you want to call it that. First, you would have I don't know what you would call that, but the bottom edge of the triangle, you might
correct.
See a little bit of a detail, a trimmed out detail.
Correct, you're right. It does need more detail.
And
sure.
Then on the flat plane, there would be like shingles or a vent or something cute or something just that would end that the most prominent detail really on your building, give it a little flair, give it a little more detail.
Right.
If you're sticking with the sort of the Queen Anne design. So I was just wondering if you'd be, amenable to adding that bit of detail, the trim on the bottom, of course, to finish out your porch.
Mm-hmm.
And then define that gable pediment.
That would be easy to do. I've already specced out the James Hardy siding material. It's pre-finished. It's nice, but
mm-hmm.
they do offer a scalloped or a shingled look. So we'd go into that for sure.
Yep. Okay. Terrific. Just to avoid that flat wall. I think those are the only comments I had. Any other questions for the petitioner? Is there any member of the public who would like to step forward and speak? Online? No. All right. We will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Let's begin with you, Jeff.
Jeff Matrika, no comment.
What is the standard for the porch coverage on in this area?
I think it's 50% or more.
Okay. They look like they're within inches of 50%. That's all. Thank you.
Kirsten Connor, no comment.
Pam Miller, no comment.
Kathy, you want to go for it?
Kathy Lidvina, you've heard my concerns, and I guess my only other question was the 30% transparency on the south elevation first floor. I think that needs to be
I guess it's not visible from the right of way.
Yeah, I think this is what's facing behind, and there's no lane back
there. So that's what, okay. Yeah. So that's, okay.
That's why we didn't have
that. That makes sense. It's not visible. Yeah. Okay. Those are my only comments then. Thank you.
May Boley, I have the exact same concerns. The freeze, love to see that articulated. It needs it. The columns, definitely top and bottom detail and single story, not continuous. And then the pediment detail. So if the client's willing to submit those for staff review, I'm more than happy to move forward.
Ditto.
Darren? Okay. Jeff, do you have any further comments?
I do not.
No comments.
No further comments.
No further comment.
Pam Miller, no comment.
May Boley, no comment.
Are we ready to make a motion?
Okay, I'll do it. We're here. It's the last one. May Boley. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Core Design and Architecture 23-005661-COA at 417 West 32nd Street with staff conditions 1-7 and additional conditions that freeze detail, column trim, and pediment detail also be submitted for staff review. That's it. Because the petition is otherwise in compliance with visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Is there a second?
Darren Bagley, I second.
Terrific. For the vote, Darren?
Darren Bagley, Heath, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Jeff Nutrika, approve.
Motion carries. Thank you. Moving forward, the approved staff reviews. A list of staff reviews is attached to the agenda. Are there any questions of the staff to the staff regarding the approved staff review? Hearing none, we need to read the entire list of the staff reviews, so bear with me. We acknowledge an approval of staff review petition of Norman Society 2430 Bull Street, after the fact painted wall sign, petition of Georgia Ann Ingram, 103 West Anderson Street, existing fence replacement, petition of Ben Wahlberg, 1312 Lincoln Street, replaced wood siding, petition of Seaport Roofing, 1600 Habersham Street, roof replacement, petition of Chris Rollins, 2313 Apricorn Street, face change sign and new identical sign, incidental sign. Petition of Chloe Parsiman, 606 West 40th Street, dog ear fence construction in rear yard. Petition of Chloe Pesterman, 606 West 40th Street, roof replacement. The board will now vote to acknowledge the approved staff reviews. Jeff.
Jeff Nutrika, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Ann Miller, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Darren Bagley, approve.
Thank you. Notices and proclamations. Any comment?
No.
All right. Other business. There's one item of other business, and that is to please, as responsible HPC board members, to respond in a timely manner to Bree's emails. And I'm going to improve on this myself, because if we can't have quorum, we're going to have to reschedule this meeting, and it takes a lot of notice to reschedule a meeting. So if you would please just respond to Bree, everybody would be far better off.
I have another other business.
Yes.
Congratulations, Caitlin, for taking on this meeting without Leah.
Thank you.
You did great.
Kelly did awesome, too. So
I have it. I have another other business as well.
I actually have an announcement. Caitlin has been promoted to principal planner in historic preservation.
Oh, oh, well
done. I am very proud of her for taking on this additional responsibility, and she's doing a fantastic job, as you can see. I also want to let you know that hopefully by next month we will have a new director.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. So, thank you.
Thank you.
And I wanted to add, thank you for the script. We love the script. Please put the script up every meeting. I love it. Thank you.
All right. So we will move to adjourn. Please note that the meeting date has been changed to January 3rd because quorum could not be met on the 27th. So is there a, okay, the next Historic Preservation Commission meeting will be held on January 3rd, 2023 at 3 p.m. in the Arthur Mendonza Room, 110 East State Street. Is
January
there a motion
3rd,
to
2024.
Oh, yes. Is there a motion to adjourn the November 20th HPC meeting, 2023?
Ann Miller, I motion to adjourn.